This is Intersection, I'm Matthew Petty. In the 3 months since a gunman killed 49 people at Pulse, the sidewalk outside the Orlando nightclub's become a site for people to mourn the lives lost and leave handmade tributes. On Monday, a smaller fence was installed around the club, and owner Barbara Poma says it leaves more room for people to visit and it should help ease congestion on that stretch of Orange Avenue. Poma explains the new fence also features a commemorative wrap with local art.
It is a collection of artwork that has been done around the city. Some are murals, some are just drawings that were collected for a children's coloring book, actually, I believe. And they've just made a big banner and have each one of them on there.
Mm-hmm. Some 3 months on from the tragedy, I'm just wondering, how are you doing, Barbara Poma?
We are still taking it day by day here in our community. We know we are very well supported and loved throughout the country and the world, and we find much comfort in that. But we're still struggling, and so, you know, we call it our two-step forward, one-step back method, and that's kind of how I know people I've met and my staff. That's how we are handling it.
And the Orange County History Center director is saying that just the sheer volume of stuff they've collected is pretty overwhelming. When you think about the amount of, you know, effort that's gone into some of these artworks, what goes through your mind?
It just shows how the whole world is uniting, and it's uniting and hopefully breaking down some barriers and walls and pulling people together to take another stand and to take a better stand and a stronger stand to create some equality and some, you know, compassion in our world.
What do you want to see here? Like, what would you like to see in the place of what we have here now, the nightclub?
That's hard to say. Like I said, we're going day by day. And we haven't gotten there. I want to see a peaceful place for people to still come together and to still heal. I want a place for the whole world and generations to come, to have a place to come visit and to know and to feel it and to help our movement, you know, keep going forward.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Before the new fence could go up, Orange County Regional History Center staff collected items that people had left in front of the club, from handmade artworks to the privacy screen itself, which people had written messages on. History Center Executive Director Michael Perkins says all of those items are being added to those collected already from other memorials around the city. How many items, how much material have you collected in the last few months, I guess?
We've frankly lost count in our process of just collecting, but we were reporting about 3,000 coming into last week, 3,000 to 3,500, and we figured that we got at least 1,500 or so last week in our collecting. So roughly 5,000 items, probably.
And anybody who's driven past the site of the Pulse nightclub or any of the memorials that were up after the shooting itself would know the kind of things you're talking about, but just give us a sense of the kinds of things you've collected up and cataloged.
It's been an amazing assortment of items, anything from signs and posters and pictures to pieces of art, to three-dimensional, really large wooden items that are just amazingly complex. We're looking at one right over there where somebody took two large wooden reels that you would put a lot of copper tubing on or something, and they've created a work of art out of that by stacking them one on top of another and then hanging small wooden boxes from them that each have a heart, a rainbow painted on them, and We believe there are 49 of them there, one for each victim of the shooting, with little messages on them. And so people have just created incredible works of art. The rainbow flag look to so many different things, including rainbow flags, of course. But you see further along here, there's a tree, an artificial tree, with the leaves all done in the rainbow colors. It's just been staggering, right down to little notes just where somebody's written something on the back of a business card. Banners, large banners from different cities around the nation, items from around the world we've collected.
How do you go about storing this stuff? What do you do with it now?
Well, we've collected everything. We do have pictures of everything. And now comes the longer part of actually the preservation process where we go through and we attempt to preserve each item. That's cleaning it, writing down the day that it was collected and any information that we have about it, taking a good image of it and putting that into our database. The cleaning alone can take anywhere from 10 minutes for a very simple item that's hard and didn't retain any water or the sun didn't really do anything to it and it isn't dirty, to a few hours or maybe even a day or two depending upon the condition of the item. So it's a long process to really effectively clean these items for long-term preservation.
What about as far as a permanent display at the Orange County History Centre itself? Is there some thought going into what's going to happen there?
Well, we think we're a little early for that. It's 3 months in. We're ready to do what the community wants to see when the time comes. We will be ready. That's a large part of this, is the collecting and preserving of these items, is so that we are ready for the future when the community's ready to look at the event that happened here and the community's response afterward. We'll be ready to tell that story, but we've not really given any hard thought to plans as of yet for how to memorialize this event.
Have more people been paying attention to the History Center now that you're part of this process of kind of cataloging history as it happens?
It's really been interesting. We've had countless comments from people, both at our website and even just walking by us as we're out collecting, and we have been collecting at the different sites, just thanking us for the work. And I mean, it's not universal. I mean, this is still a very raw and emotional subject, and we understand that some people would want things to last forever, but at the same time, we feel like we're doing the community some good as well, just so that in 20 years, 50 years, 100 years, people can look back on this event and they'll see not just the horrific event that happened on that day, but the community's unbelievable positive response afterwards and just the way the community came together.
Michael Perkins, I'm guessing just from the number of handmade memorials that people have put up so far in the last 3 months, there'll be more, right? Even with this new fence, I'm guessing some people will want to, you know, bring some of them, some of what they would like to offer and leave it there. So does your job kind of as a curator of this stuff continue?
We will continue in some form or fashion. It's long term, I can tell you. Coincidentally, I was in Charleston in July of this year, just 13 months after the shooting at the church up there, the Baptist church up there, and indeed I stopped to visit, and there are people leaving memorial items there, and it had been 13 months. As long as this site is here, people will at least leave flowers, at least leave something, at least for the foreseeable future. At memorials, they tend to have a long life.
Did you have a chat to the folks at the whatever the equivalent of the History Center is in Charleston to figure out what they were doing, their process as far as cataloging that stuff?
We reached out to Charleston and a few other museums and the 9/11 Museum and the Smithsonian within the first few days after Pulse happened, realizing that this was going to happen. You still aren't ready for it. Just the sheer amount, volume of items has just been so great. But we at least had a process ready to start. We knew more or less what we were up against, and we had insights from the unfortunate folks who've been through this in the past. So we at least had a good grounding in what we could expect to be up against.
And just from talking to folks who are involved in the One Orlando Fund, you know, they've said it's good to feel that you're doing something specific and helping in the aftermath of this. What's your perspective, Michael Perkins? Do you feel like it's been good to kind of help do something positive and constructive in the aftermath of this tragedy for Orlando?
Well, that's how we're trying to look at it. Is we look at this as two events. We look at it as the shooting, and then we look at it as the community's response and the world's response to the shooting. And that's what we're collecting, is we're collecting the response. And in that way, it is positive in the love and support that was given Orlando by other Orlandoans and Central Floridians and throughout the nation and throughout the world. So that's the story that we will be ready to tell in the future, is at least the community's response and the world's response to this. So in that way, we think that hopefully we're documenting it effectively now for the future, and that'll be a compelling story to tell.
Michael Perkins, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Across the street from Pulse is Innovative Electronics. We spoke to owner Jonathan Toothman about 2 months ago about how his business was doing. Since then, he says things have not improved.
Business is down. It's down substantially. I mean, actually, it's interesting because I see passersby quite frequently. I see, you know, people over at the Pulse nightclub, you know, mourners and such, paying tribute and such on a daily, hourly basis. There isn't a time that goes by that you don't see 8, 10, 15, 20 people any given time over there. And, you know, they come and go. But my business has suffered. It's suffered substantially.
You've got a view of the nightclub here. You see things coming and going. You'll see them taking those items that people have left there away and putting up something new. You know, what goes through your mind sort of seeing the traffic of people through there?
Well, it was an incredible tragedy. I mean, 49 people killed, you know. Thankfully, the last I've heard is that all people have been released out of the hospital. You know, I mean, we reflect on that. And my business is just it's a small issue. I mean, my business is down, really, relative to what happened across the street on that day in June. You know, it's incredible, you know, what has happened to people's lives. People lost their lives. People have their lives changed forever. You know, so I'm an electron about the nucleus here. I mean, I'm just a small, you know, factor in this whole thing. But no, my business has suffered, and, you know, I do what I try to do to try to restore things back to a normalcy.
When you walk down the street here, you see the banners flying from the light posts, and they say Orlando Strong, you know, downtown South. Have some people come into the store and say, look, I heard the call for people to support the businesses that were affected in the aftermath of Pulse, and here I am at your store kind of bringing my business here?
That direct effect was immediate and very short-lived, actually. I saw some immediate results. I met with the governor 2 days after they opened the streets back up, that Wednesday, that day. And it was a favorable meeting. He had a press release, and there was a lot of outpouring. Very short-lived, though, for a two-day span. I was one of the founders of the Downtown South Main Street group back in 2008 and involved with the banners and such. And, you know, the identity of our district has really helped businesses overall in this corridor to try to identify with a specific location. But we all suffer from various things. And again, I have some issues concerning my business, which is not directly related to the Pulse incident. Maybe, again, the Pulse incident was the catalyst for my business struggles at this time.
Do you get the sense that this area, this little corridor here we're talking about, downtown South, will recover down the track, or are you a little bit pessimistic at this stage?
Well, you know, it was actually initially quite exciting to have heard some of the funds that they raised the Orlando One Fund that came together with in excess of $23 million. The hope was that they would have directed some funds to the district as a whole, in which they could have actually used some quite a lot of funds for issues concerning traffic calming, pedestrian friendliness, things that would have encouraged shoppers in the district, or not even shopping so much, but more of a presence, more of a sense of place for the district than what I think the intention is. You know, the Downtown South Main Street group, which has been in place since 2008, its purpose is to try to do certain things to try to create more of a sense of place here. But the funds that were raised for the purpose of Orlando One for the Pulse is gone not for that purpose.
Is there anywhere else you can turn to as far as giving this area a bit of a business boost?
Again, the Downtown South group has created a meeting that's coming up with the City of Orlando. I'll be meeting with some folks there. I'm not sure. It's a couple of weeks away still. Basically lay out on the table some of the problems that exist and to see what kind of economic stimulus might still exist other than the fundraising that's already occurred.
Jonathan Toothman, thank you so much.
Thanks, Matthew. I appreciate your thoughts.
Jonathan Toothman is the owner of Innovative Electronics, a radio shack across from the Pulse nightclub. Still to come, how simulation and modelling is shaking up medical and military training. And from caviar to cupcakes, there's no limit to the kinds of food you can get from a vending machine, but is it worth the convenience factor or just a gimmick? Intersection returns in a minute.